All right. We're looking at the life of faith. We're called to live by faith. And we've looked at how faith is expressed in different areas of our life. And Pastor Benjamin looked at faith. What does that look like at our work? And I spoke about our family. And Pastor Kondwani spoke about faith towards God for physical healing. I've heard wonderful testimonies from that. And so we've looked at different ways that faith is expressed. And we want to remind you what Bible faith is in Genesis 15, Abram believed what God said. He heard God say something. He believed what God said. And then he lived that way. All right. So James talks about our faith is expressed in how we act. All right. So faith is believing what God says and then living that way. So we're going to look at faith and marriage. Faith and marriage. So please note there's a preposition, faith and marriage. It's not faith for marriage. All right. And not to say that that's a wrong thing. If you're a single person, I claim in Jesus' name a Proverbs 31 woman. Well, you can claim, but the Bible says he who finds a wife. So that doesn't happen in your prayer closet. It happens with your feet. Amen. All right. And you do that appropriately. Or faith for your marriage. Maybe you're married. You want to see it better. That's fine. But really, we're looking at what does God say about marriage? And do we believe it? And do we live that out? So we want to take the first part of this time together to say, what does God's word say about marriage? And challenge us to believe that and then look at ways that that belief can be expressed, both as single people and as married people. All right. And this is very vital for both people who are those of you who are unmarried and those of you who are married. Okay, so what does God's word say about marriage? Because here's the thing, what the world says about marriage, much of it cannot be substantiated in Scripture. Many of the traditions and customs that the world has given us all around the world cannot be substantiated in Scripture. So we have to go to God's word with an open heart and an open mind. So let's do that. One of the things we see that God says about marriage is that marriage is a sacred covenant. Sacred meaning it's connected to God and it is a covenant. Malachi 2:14. How many of you know there are verses in Malachi other than chapter 3 and the tithe? All right. This is a wonderful text. And it is similar to what God was saying in chapter 3 about the tithe. But Malachi, a prophet, is like a prosecutor against God's people. And they're in trouble. And he's using the word of God as the source of where they have violated the covenant that Israel had with God. And one of the things that he's indicting them for is the way they've been conducting their marriage. Malachi 2:14, yet you say, for what reason? Why are we in trouble? For what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. So the word of God calls marriage and the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband as a covenant. Now, we say sacred covenant because it's under God. That's why people who are Christians get married in a church. And because they're recognizing God's authority and the fact that what God said about marriage, okay? So here in Malachi 2, we see a man who is not recognizing the covenant that he has with his wife in this marriage that is a covenant under God. Now, Proverbs chapter 2, we see the other way, sadly, of a woman who is not walking and recognizing in the covenant that she has with her husband. Proverbs 2:16, wisdom will save you from the immoral woman. Now, honestly, I could preach 100 weeks on that phrase right there, but we won't. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. Notice, wisdom saves you, not strong prayers. Wisdom, all right? The wisdom of Joseph to get out of the room with the crazy woman. Hallelujah. All right? Verse 17. She, this immoral woman, she has abandoned her husband. So this is a married woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Malachi 2, a husband who has disregarded the sacred covenant towards his wife. And sadly, in Proverbs 2, a woman who has disregarded the covenant that she made before God. All right? And sometimes it's a man or a woman doing this. Sometimes it is men and women doing it at the same time in a marriage, sadly. All right? So it's a sacred covenant. What we also see about marriage is that it is lifelong. It is lifelong, and it involves one man and one woman, and that this one man, one woman, one plus one equals one, meaning it is one flesh. It produces oneness, all right? Jesus, in Mark chapter 10, and he has some things to say, but he is also quoting from Genesis chapter 2 as well in this text. Mark chapter 10, verse 6, he says, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them, male and female, for this reason," or the reason of marriage, and he's quoting what God had Moses say about marriage here. "For this reason, a man," one man, "shall leave his father and mother," I could preach another 100 weeks on that phrase, "shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife," singular, one man and one woman, "and the two shall become one." That's interesting math, isn't it? One plus one equals one. "So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." Okay? It is binding. It is forever. All right? We say it in a wedding, marriage ceremony, "until death separates us." And I'm so proud. And I know it's a sad situation, and we have funerals at Miracle Life, and because we're all going to die at some point. But it's sad to see a man having to say goodbye physically to his wife, or vice versa, where a woman is saying goodbye to her husband. And it's especially heart-wrenching when that person has lost their spouse. And so it's sad, but you know what? It also means they did it. They won. They did what Scripture commanded. Until what separates us? Until death separates us. The funeral is when God designed for a marriage to stop. That was the way he designed for it too. All right, so it is a covenant under God. It is exclusively monogamous, okay? One male, one female equals one marriage. So there's no other equation. In elementary school, secondary school, math was always my favorite subject until college, and I didn't like it so much, but I loved math, but here's the thing. There's only one equation that equals marriage. One male, one female equals marriage. Two of the same gender, not marriage. One male, two females, not marriage. Two females, one male. Or different ones at different... No. One male, one female equals God's version of marriage. And it doesn't matter what the United Nations says. It doesn't matter what the Western world says. It matters what God says. All right? So, it's exclusively monogamous. We don't add other people to it. All right? And it is binding. It is a binding thing. All right, so let's put all those different kind of verses together. And there are many wonderful biblical definitions for marriage. But for this morning, I'm going to use this one. Marriage is a lifelong sacred covenant between a man and a woman for God's glory and purposes that brings blessing to each spouse and others. Okay, let me read it again. Marriage is a lifelong sacred covenant between a man and a woman for God's glory and purposes that brings blessing to each spouse and to others. All right, so all of those phrases, there is biblical support for everything that's in it. So this is, I don't feel like it's Pastor Walker's good idea of what marriage is or redefined or rethought for 2020. I believe that comes from Scripture. Okay? So, faith and marriage. So what this means is that regardless of what I have experienced, some of you know my story, my parents were married to different people at different times, divorces and different things. So I look to what God says regardless of what I have experienced, regardless of what singers sing about, regardless of what famous people say, regardless of what world leaders propose. I believe what God says, but not, again, just to kind of believe that. But then I live my life this way. All right, so whether I'm married or not married, it will greatly influence my life and how I counsel other people, how I influence other people of what I believe marriage to be, what I believe marriage to be. Okay, now in marriage, all right, so here's this wonderful thing called marriage that God created, but there is something very among other things, there's something very unique in marriage, all right, and that God created a, I want you to remember this phrase today, a marriage-affirming or covenant-affirming act called sex, okay? It's in the Bible. God created it. He called it good, all right? And so he designed sex for the covenant of marriage and nowhere else, because it's a covenant affirming experience. So outside of a covenant, it's not what God designed for it to be. All right, let me read 1 Corinthians 7. Again, this is not my idea, it's God's idea. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now concerning the things which you wrote to me. So Paul, 1 Corinthians is a lot kind of a Q&A. You can see Paul kind of going down this list of things that he needs to talk to him about. He said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife. So where is sexuality expressed? Between a man and his wife. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. What is he talking about? Affection. He's talking about sexual intimacy. Let the husband give sexual affection to who? His wife, singular. His wife, singular. Do her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. All right, so God's creation, sexual intimacy, was designed for a husband and a wife in marriage. Not before marriage, not a test drive, checking out if everything works. No, not because someone is frustrated, not because someone has gone to visit their mom on the copper belt for a month. Mm-mm. It is designed in marriage for the expression of the covenant. All right? To the wife, to the husband. Hebrews 13:4 says, give honor to marriage. Now, honor means how we treat it, how we think about it, right? Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. That is a New Testament verse. Okay? So, what are the implications of what God designed marriage to be and that he created sexual intimacy for marriage and only for marriage? So what are some of the implications? All right. It means that God ordained marriage to be conducted his way. One of the saddest phrases I feel in the Bible, just because as a pastor, I see this lived out, is that we see this at different times in the Old Testament, that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone just decided themselves, and they decided what was right and what was wrong. And really, that was the true sin, the root of the sin in the garden in Genesis 3. All right, so marriage is to be done God's way and only God's way. All right. Covenant means we are one physically, financially, in our allegiances. All right. We are one. We are team marriage. Let no one separate them, including mother-in-laws. God bless you, mother-in-laws. We love you, but don't interfere in marriages. Okay. There is a leaving and a cleaving. All right. So there's a oneness in marriage. And as we said, sex is the covenant confirming or affirming act of marriage. It is an expression of the intimacy of marriage, and it is designed exclusively for marriage and nowhere else. Okay? So, what God defined marriage to be and what we've said this means, how many of you know that the world that we live in 2020 does not accept what you and I just said? It does not accept that as truth. It does not accept it, all right? And here's the thing. We could say, oh, things are terrible in 2020. No, it's been this way forever. In the context of when Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and he wrote about marriage to different groups, it was very, very common in the Roman world that people would have a marriage, and they would have children by their wife, but then they would have sexual fun outside of marriage. Some men would have sexual fun at the bathhouses with young men, all right? And so family was the family, but if I really want to have fun with my sexual life, I'm going to do that outside of marriage. That was widely done. And really, that kind of idea is practiced in many, many places in the world, in to some degree or another. Okay? So the world rejects what God says, and the Bible warns you and I not to let the world influence us. Okay? Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I pray to God, if you're unmarried or married today, change the way you think about marriage. Not some little wisdom tidbits from Pastor Walker, but God's word. May that change the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I am a growing husband, but you know what? When I do marriage God's way, it's good, it's pleasing, it's perfect, it's wonderful. And so God knows that, okay? So, don't be conformed. So what does the world tell us? What are some of the myths that are outside of the Bible about marriage? Well, sometimes it says that marriage is a way to remove the curse of being single. And that singleness is a second-class existence, and so we need to fix it. And the only way you're going to fix it is by getting married. Well, wait a second, time out. New Testament. If you read from Matthew to the end of the to all the way to Revelation, there are two men that kind of jump off the pages of the New Testament, the two key figures of the New Testament, Jesus and Paul, single and killing it, single and loving life, single and obeying the Father. All right, they lived wonderful, fulfilled lives as single people. And in fact, Paul mentions that. All right, so singleness is not a curse. All right, Paul says it's a wonderful season of your life, whether that season is a long time or forever, or whether your spouse has passed away, whatever it is, singleness is not a curse. And so, you know what that means then, friends? We can't treat single people that way, looking down upon them, thinking that they are sub-adults, all right? I don't like when people say this at wedding receptions, and if you've said this, I'm not picking on you particularly, but I am telling you, repent and stop saying this at wedding receptions, is that married people sometimes say, "Welcome to our club." It's not a social club. We don't have ID cards. There's not a secret handshake. All right. You are, and see, here's a Bible fact about being single. You are, if you're in Christ, you are loved, adopted, reconciled, washed, forgiven, sanctified. You are awesome right now. Marriage will not make you more awesome. All right. You are complete in Him, in Christ. Okay. So there's just some silly myths around there. All right. Sometimes the world will say this, and I've heard sadly people say, you know, that marriage means that I'm going to get what I paid for in Lobola. I'm going to get out of this woman my expectation. That's not in the Bible. Men, you have harder verses to obey than your wife does. And so just go ahead and get busy doing your verses, and you will wake up a few months later and realize, wow, when you are Superman husband, you will actually empower your wife to obey the Bible wonderfully. Okay? Marriage is not about my personal happiness and fulfillment. Marriage is very much sacrificial. It is very much putting someone else first for the rest of my life. Okay? So it's not about me being happy. If you want to be happy, go get a kitten or a puppy dog or buy ice cream. That will make you happy. Marriage is not designed to make you happy. All right? Be happy in Jesus and then get married with someone else who's happy in Jesus, and then two happy people can live in the same house. All right. If you're miserable, please don't get married, because you're just going to make that other person miserable. All right. Go get happy in Jesus before you get married. All right. Finding someone to complete me. Again, only Jesus completes us. All right. We mentioned this. Sadly, the world believes this, that marriage or the family is a good place to have children. But fun sex happens outside of marriage. That is a lie. That is not true. Okay, so if I don't believe what the Bible says about marriage, here's what happens. I believe something else. I believe something else. So we are imploring you today. We're begging you today. Believe what God says about marriage. All right, what does he say it is? Let me read that again to you. It is a lifelong sacred covenant between a man and a woman for God's glory and purposes, that brings blessings to each spouse and to others. Okay, so implications. So if that's true, and it is, what are the implications for single people? And we kind of hinted at this already. What that means is that if you are unmarried, that with Jesus, you can be happy, you can be complete, and you can live a wonderfully fulfilled life today. Today, all right? There's not going to be some magical day when you get married that's going to make you happier, all right? I'm sad to report that there are single people who got married, and honestly, they were happier as single people. Okay, because they married someone outside of Jesus. They married someone who was very immature. And honestly, their life was far better as a single person. Okay? What's another implication for those of you who are unmarried? Okay? What that means is that since sex is a covenant-affirming activity, then sex is not for you. It's not for you today. All right? So just kind of get over it. Bring some flowers to the funeral. Cry a few tears. All right? It's not for you today. All right? It is not, sex is not an act of love in a dating relationship. If you're dating someone and you're having sex, you and that other person are selfish. You are dishonoring God. You are disobeying His word. All right? It is not love. It is false. It's a lie. Okay? Because the world gives us this idea that sex is recreational. It's like a sport. It's like going to the movies. It's fun. All right? Now, God designed it wonderfully in marriage, and it has some of those components. But it's not recreational. It's not your human right to have sex. It is a privilege in the covenant to express the covenant. So, those of you who are unmarried, just this is something that has helped me, both as an unmarried person and as a married person. That, if sure, you've got desires, you've got feelings, other people. The whole world is not ugly at the same time, right? God doesn't just lift this veil over your face. But just say out loud, whether you're single or not, if someone's not your spouse and you have a desire, just say out loud, that's not my wife. That's not my husband. Okay, whether that person's walking down the street or appears on your cell phone. Amen? Say it out loud. Clear the cobwebs from your brain. What's another implication? All right? Here's a big one for unmarried people. So covenant under God, then that means I will only seek for a spouse who lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because someone who's outside of that, doesn't matter what their surname is, it doesn't matter where they work, they don't recognize what marriage is, and they certainly don't have the grace to give you what you are looking for in marriage. All right, so do not ever, ever, ever look for a marriage partner outside of the family of God. All right, you are free to marry, 1 Corinthians says, in the Lord. All right, not in Miracle Life. Thank God the church is bigger than Miracle Life. In the Lord. All right, a Christian. So, married people, what does this implication mean? It means that you made a lifelong commitment. A lifelong commitment. It means that you maintain your marriage. You don't get a new one. My wife's grandfather, we knew him for 30 years. He had the same vehicle 30 years, and he had bought it 20 years before that. How's that possible? Because he maintained it. He was good with his hands. And so if something was wrong, he fixed it. He knew how to keep it healthy and strong. And so as a married couple, maintain your marriage. Go to marriage conferences. Read marriage books together. Talk about it. Keep getting better at this thing called marriage. Both of you together at the same time, keep getting your marriage stronger. All right? And you don't need a new person, but perhaps you need some new skills. And Miracle Life is here to help. They're wonderful people. If you are stuck, we can help you get unstuck. And there's a number of different ways to help your marriage at Miracle Life. All right? And then lastly, as a marriage person, seek to do the best towards the other person. Paul said that if you're married, that you are constantly, when you wake up, I'm thinking, how do I bless this person? All right. So bless your spouse today in ways that they can receive it. Amen. So let's believe what God says about marriage, and then let's live it out in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person, Lord, as part of this service, whether they are married or unmarried. Father, we have heard whoppers of lies, huge falsehood about what marriage is and what it isn't. Father, we reject everything other than your word. Father, we let our hearts settle on this beautiful thing you called marriage, and we choose to believe what you said, and then, Lord, whether we're married or unmarried, we will live it out based on what you say. Please, I want to encourage some of you. You influence other people, whether they might be your kids or your cousins, they might be friends that you have. Don't lie to other people about what marriage is. Represent God accurately. Represent God very well in Jesus' name. Again, we understand that probably if you're watching this, maybe some of you are struggling. Maybe some of you are in a broken marriage. Maybe some of you, like Paul said, maybe someone has left or abandoned you. Maybe there's what Jesus referred to as adultery. What do I do? This church will help you. This church will help bring biblical guidance into your life to make godly decisions. Amen? Now, before we go, if you need prayer, whether it's your family or marriage or any other thing, there's numbers up on the screen. Please call us. Give us that opportunity. We can't wait till we can do that physically, but for now, we would love to be able to do that on the phone. Also, if you're watching this today, if you're part of the service, you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not a member of his family. You see, marriage is it's a picture of how much God loves us and this wonderful union that we can have because of what Jesus did for us. And if you don't know him, let him be your Lord and Savior today. Confess him as Lord. Pray this prayer with me. You don't know Jesus or you're backslidden. Say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I come to you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I repent of my sins and I follow you now. Thank you, Father. I am an adopted child. I am in your family. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or you're coming home to Jesus, again, please contact us. Let us know that you met Jesus. We want to help you. We want to help you walk with him. We want to see you water baptized. All right? We love you so much. So, God bless you so much, Miracle Life family. We will have another wonderful online service next week. And again, we will keep you very informed and posted as we consider meeting physically again soon. God bless you. We love you.